you're still in the Christmas spirit. Amen? All right, I love Christmas time. I love all that goes on with Christmas. I love the true meaning of Christmas. Amen? That Jesus Christ would be born into this world and be given as a sacrifice so that one day we can enjoy heaven. Amen? And I like all of the rest of it that goes with it, too. And most of the time, I'm ready for it to be over with. And how many of you are ready for it to be over with? You ready to move on past the new year? All right? And good. Amen. Hope you had a good time with your family and whatever you did yesterday. And hope it was enjoyable. Listen, I'm going to tell you real quick before we get into the message. Today, our fourth child turns three, so that means she moves out of the nursery and she goes to Sunday school and the kids' church. And I don't know how that's going to be, all right? We've already made it through Sunday school, thankfully, all right? And I haven't heard anything bad, all right? But she's now in kids' church. If, by chance, all right, she escapes and comes running down the middle aisle, you just ignore it, all right? And we'll keep moving on and act like nothing happened, all right? And you pray for us, all right? This one here, she's testing the waters, all right? And anyways, all right, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm just going to take one verse in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. It's a very familiar portion of Scripture. Many of you would be able to quote this verse for memory. But 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 15. Let's all stand. And we'll read it together. As you'll stand if you're able to. All right. Some of you, I know you're not able to. I understand that. But if you're able to, and Brother Galleon Grimaces, please remember Brother Galleon this week. All right. He has a procedure on Tuesday. And hopefully he'll get some relief from those back issues that he's been having. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And look at verse number 15. One verse. The Bible says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Read it again. "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Let's pray and then we'll dive into the message. Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you, God, for your word. And God, thank you that if we'll allow it to, Lord, it will speak to our hearts and it'll show us those things in our hearts that, Lord, need to be tended to. God, that will help us to be drawn closer to you. And Lord, help us to live more like Jesus. God, I pray that you would help us this morning as we look at the Scripture. Thank you for this unspeakable gift that Paul mentions here in 2 Corinthians. And I pray that God, as you would, that you would use the message. And Lord, you know that, God, there's nothing that I can say that'll change any man's heart. Lord, but we know that it's you that changes the heart and you that that convicts us of areas, Lord, that that we need to change. And God, I pray that you would allow us to, or help us, Lord, to allow you to speak to our hearts and to change, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, when the invitation time comes, that, God, we wouldn't just sit idle, but, God, as you speak to us, we would respond to how you speak to us. And we would be willing to do in our hearts, Lord God, and in our lives what you want to do. Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Here in 2 Corinthians, we got Paul writing to the church of Corinth under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he's writing, if you look at the entire chapter as a whole, you'll notice that he's actually writing about giving. He's writing about their financial responsibility and then on top of that, God's blessings in giving. And let me just say this right here before we get into the message. God still blesses those who faithfully give to the work of God. Amen? And we see this promised in verse number 6. Look at verse number 6. The Bible says, "This I say unto you, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." I don't know about you, but I'm always amazed. We're coming up on the end of the, or we're at the end of the year, about to cross over into the new year, and it won't be long before those that are faithful tithers and givers to the church,
you'll start getting those statements in the mail and such that show how much you've given to the work of the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I'm always amazed as I look at that statement and see how God has allowed our family to give. I'm always amazed at how we even have food in the pantry. But can I say to you, God always blesses giving. God always blesses as we would give. He promises us that. You go back to the book of Malachi in the Old Testament, and we see that God says, hey, he says, prove me and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And boy, let me just say this morning, this isn't the message, right? We'll get to it. If you want to see the blessings of God on your life, boy, start giving. Start tithing. Start giving to the work of God. And God promises that he will be faithful in blessing that. And so Paul's speaking about giving and about blessings or the blessings that come from giving. But before he closes the chapter, he gives us this reminder of God's giving. That we find in verse number 15. He says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And it's easy for us, most of us, to think about gifts and giving and all that goes on with that, with Christmas yesterday. Most of us, we did what we've been looking forward to, right? I mean, ladies, you cleaned the house and got ready for guests, and everybody went shopping and all of that stuff. We gave gifts, and we visited with some of the annoying family, right? I mean, you have family that's annoying sometimes. We all do, I believe, right? Those are things that we look forward to, right? We wrap gifts. I hate wrapping gifts. Worst part about Christmas is, for me anyway, is wrapping gifts, all right? I don't work in an environment where that's something that I do, package up stuff all the time, all right? And so I hate that. And some of you are looking at me like, that's not what we look forward to, all right? I didn't look forward to spending time with some of my annoying family. I didn't look forward to cleaning up the house and cooking for all of the family and that type of thing. No, you didn't look forward to that. What did you look forward to? You looked forward to getting those gifts, didn't you? Getting those gifts, those things that maybe you've been hoping for all year long. Wishing that, man, I hope he gets me the right thing. I hope he gets me that. And gentlemen, you're wishing the same thing. Hopefully she gets me what I've been hoping for all year. Let me say, I like gifts. How many of you like gifts? Yeah, well, I think, yeah, I'm not alone. We all like gifts for the most part. But notice what Paul says in the verse that we read. Paul speaks about a gift, but notice he says, thanks be unto God for his, what? Unspeakable gift, all right? To give you a little understanding of what is he, what he's saying, all right? Unspeakable, you look at the word unspeakable, it carries the idea of something that's undescribable, right? I can't even put words to how great this gift is. The definition of a gift, if we look at that, it simply is just something that is presented. By the way, we can look at this verse here, and we can toss out work salvation, amen, because we see that it is a gift, all right, and we can't earn it. A gift is something that's presented, and Paul says this unspeakable gift. So unspeakable is something that's undescribable. A gift is something that's presented. What is this unspeakable gift that Paul is mentioning? Well, friend, it's Jesus Christ. If you haven't figured it out yet, it's Jesus Christ, and in essence, it is salvation that is found in Jesus Christ. Can I say to you, without Jesus Christ, we don't have salvation. There is no hope of heaven. Hey, there is no chance of being reunited with loved ones. Friend, can I tell you, Jesus Christ is the gift that was given. And I want you to notice, though, what Paul says about this gift. Look back at verse 15. He speaks about this unspeakable gift. But in the first part of the verse, he says this. He says, thanks be unto God. Thanks. If I give thanks for something, you go to the dictionary, and that's what I did. It tells you the definitions of the words. That's good to know many times, all right? Sometimes I use words I don't even know what they mean. It's good to know what the meaning is to those words. The word thanks It simply is an expression of gratitude or an acknowledgement of something that's received or done. Paul says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. What is Paul saying? He's saying this. In essence, he's simply saying, don't forget about the gift. Don't forget about the gift. And can I say to you, during this time of relaxation, or what has been some relaxation, some of you will go back to it tomorrow morning right out the gate, but for what little bit of relaxation time that you've had, let me just remind you that during that time, the time that maybe we're out of schedule, maybe our focus is in different directions. We're thinking about going here and going there and making sure that we're on time. Amen. All the men said amen. Making sure that we're on time and our minds are on other things. Let me encourage you. Don't forget about the gift. Don't forget about the gift, as Paul would say, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. I want to point out to you just three things this morning. Just three things. And I don't have a clock up here, all right? And some of you just put your hand over your head and you let your head down, all right? This thing, I don't know if the batteries went out or what happened, so I don't have a clock. You may have a clock back there that you could throw on the wall. That would sure help me, and it would help you, amen? But I just want to give you three things, all right? I did try to keep it concise to just three things about this unspeakable gift that Paul speaks about. And hopefully it will lodge some things in our hearts that would cause us to not easily forget about this unspeakable gift that Paul speaks to us about. First of all, I want you to notice that this gift that Paul makes mention of is, first of all, it is a universal gift. Paul says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. It is an unspeakable gift. If you look at the Christmas story, go to Luke chapter number 2 with me, if you will. And let's look at a couple of verses. Luke chapter number 2. And if you look there in Luke's account, you'll notice in verse number 6, we'll see, beginning with verse number 6, that it's a personal gift. All right, look at verse number 6 in Luke chapter number 2. The Bible says, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. And we see that this baby, Jesus, as he was born into this world, he was a personal gift. We see that in verse number 6 and verse number 7 to Mary. Boy, Mary would have the honor of birthing this child, the Messiah. And it was a personal gift as this child would be born into the world. And let me go ahead and insert this right here. And let me go ahead and say that it is free. You don't have to pay for it, all right? There's something bad wrong. I'll say that again. With any woman who would allow the life of their child to be taken. Amen? I think we all can agree right there. It's a gift from God. We see this right here, that this birthing of Jesus was a gift from God. There's a problem with any woman that would allow their child to be taken. But let me go further and say this. There's a problem with any wicked, murderous doctor that would carry out the taking of that life. The Word of God teaches us that children are a gift from God. Psalm 127, verse number 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Amen. And children, boy, the birthing of a child is a gift from God. And so it was a gift to Mary. But let's look on down. It was not just a personal gift. It was a universal gift. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, or begin at verse number 8, and they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Verse number 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Notice this, which shall be to all people. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And let me just say, hey, praise the Lord, this gift that Paul speaks about in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, it was a universal gift. This was a gift, let me say, to Mary and Joseph for certain. This was a gift, if you will, the birthing of Christ to those shepherds. It was a gift to the wise men that would come and visit him. It was a gift to the Old Testament saints and to the apostles. But can I remind you, it's a gift to you and to me as well. Jesus was a gift to the whole world. And can I say to you, the very thought of that, it ought to make us shout hallelujahs to the heavens for the saints here today. Well, think about the fact that God gave this gift in Jesus Christ that we can be saved from the wrath of sin. Amen? Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Hey, friend, listen. Thank God I don't ever have to go to hell. I said, thank God I don't ever have to go to hell. Amen? That's good news here today, friend. For those that maybe would be here that are without Christ, you're unsaved. Hey, the fact that this is a universal gift is good news for you, too. It's not just good news for the believer. Oh, friend, listen, it's good news for the unbeliever. The fact that God gave his gift of Jesus Christ to come into this world, to be born of a virgin, friend, listen to me, and to go to the cross of Calvary and to die a cruel death on the cross of Calvary to pay for your sin and my sin. Hey, it's available to you today. Maybe you're sitting here and there's never been a time that you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior. You've never realized that, hey, I'm a sinner on my way to a devil's hell, and hey, there's nothing I can do about it. But Jesus Christ, he came and he was born in this earth and he went to the cross of Calvary and he paid the debt that I couldn't pay. And can I say to you, if you'll receive that gift of salvation, oh friend, listen to me, you can be free this morning. Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 17, the scripture says, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Can I say to you, there's no restrictions, amen? There's nothing that is reserved for one particular group of people. Hey, the scripture says there in Revelation chapter 22, hey, just come. If you're thirsty this morning, listen, friend, maybe you're here today and your life is in shambles. You don't know what will happen if your last breath is taken, friend. Listen to me. Hey, there's a universal gift to you. And that gift is Jesus Christ. And if you'll just come, I like that word, whosoever. Amen? Whosoever. Well, you'll find it all throughout the scripture. And I started to write them all down, but I thought, man, we don't want to quote all of those verses. You can find it all through the Gospels, all through the New Testament. Whosoever will come. And I say to you, it's not based on wealth. It's not based on wisdom. It's not based on my works or who I belong to. Friend, listen to me. It's a universal gift. I'm thankful this morning, as Paul would speak about, hey, this unspeakable gift. Words can't describe it. It's a universal gift, first of all. I want you to notice, second of all, not only is it a universal gift, but number two, it is an unwelcome gift. It's an unwelcome gift. You continue to look there at the Christmas story there. As Paul would speak in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, not the Christmas story, all right? 2 Corinthians 9, 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And we've already seen that it was a great gift because it was a universal gift. Yet still, think about this. It's a universal gift. I like gifts, and we've already seen who all raised their hand and said, yeah, I like gifts. I want you to think about the fact that this was a gift that was presented or given to all mankind. Yet still, there were some that didn't like it. said, no, we don't want this gift. It's an unwelcomed gift. All of the greatness that it is, we've already looked at that Jesus would come and he would pay the sin debt that I can't pay. And boy, what great news that is. Yet still, it was an unwelcomed gift. You think about Herod. You go to Matthew chapter number 2. Look through there, through the Christmas story. He hears of this baby Jesus that is born, and he calls the wise men to him, and he says, hey, I want you to go find him, and I want you to come back to me, and you bring me word again. I want to know where he's at, and I want to go worship him. He didn't want to worship him. He wanted to go get rid of him. Listen, and then as those wise men, and let me just say, we can say they're wise men just because of this simple fact. When they went and saw the baby Jesus, the Bible says that the Lord came to him in a dream and said, hey, don't you go back to Herod. Wouldn't do some Baptist good to take note of that. Listen to God as he would speak to you, but he would say, hey, go and find this baby. And they would mind God and they wouldn't go back. And so Herod would order that all of the babies 2 years old and under would be killed. Herod didn't want any of it. Herod said, no, no, I don't, baby Jesus, King Jesus, no, I'm the king around here. Nobody be coming in taking my place, taking the throne. But I want you to be reminded, it was just Herod. Not only Herod didn't want it, when you think about the Jews didn't receive it. John chapter 1, verse number 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Boy, think about that. Come to your own people, and they say, no, we don't want you. Get out of here. Leave. You're not welcome. It's an unwelcome gift. We see Herod, he didn't welcome him, and the Jews didn't welcome him. But I want you to notice also the religious crowd. They didn't welcome him. I mean, think about it. The Messiah is coming. I mean, boy, listen, the long-awaited king of all people, listen, boy, the religious crowd will accept him. But no, they wouldn't accept him. The religious crowd, they'd say, no, no, he's a blasphemer. No, he's not God. What is he talking about? He's an unwelcome gift. I want you to think about this. I think it's worth us noting that just as it was in the days that we just mentioned, those that wouldn't be accepting or admiring or giving of hallelujahs to this unspeakable gift that Paul would mention. Hey, so it is today. It's an unwelcome gift. Hey, listen to me. You can go to any department store around the area, and maybe not tomorrow, all right? They'll be taking all the Christmas stuff down. In fact, I think most of them already have Valentine's stuff up. But you go to the department stores and, hey, listen, oh boy, you won't see praises to Jesus. You won't see things that are welcoming of this unspeakable gift that Paul would mention. There's those that would cover up what Christmas is all about. Listen, there are those that today, just as in those days, today they make it about something else or they unwelcome it. Today, Christmas, it's all about lights and trees and Santa and snowmen. They try to market this thing of Christmas. And I think to you, it ought not let it get our focus as Christians. Hey, listen, the true gift of Christmas is that a Savior came to this lost and dying world. Hey, listen to me. Just because you maybe work with somebody that's not a believer, or you go to school with somebody that's not a believer, maybe you have a neighbor that's not a believer, and they're not willing to welcome this gift that is to all. Hey, can I say this? Will you continue to be a witness? Continue to be a testimony? Continue to be an example? Maybe you're here today and maybe you've got family that doesn't welcome it. Hey, listen to me. May we as God's people be welcoming of the gift, and praise God for the great gift. This unspeakable gift is an unwelcome gift. And I say this, in the fact of, in those days, it was an unwelcome gift. They didn't want Jesus. As Mary and Joseph would go from door to door just to try and find a place to birth this child. No room here. No, sorry, we're full. Keep moving, buddy. Go on down the street. Hey, there's a stable out back. It's an unwelcome gift. Can I remind you, always has been those that try to stand against Jesus Christ from the birth all the way to the cross. But can I remind you that just as they put him on that cruel cross, and by the way, it was a cruel cross. It was a very cruel cross. We can't even wrap our minds around how cruel that that day was as they would take and drive nails in his hands and in his feet and murder the Savior on that cross. And they would take that lifeless body and place it in the tomb, and they would leave it there thinking, all is done. We've gotten rid of him at last. Oh, but can I tell you, they forgot that Sunday was coming. Hey, Mark chapter 16, verse number 2, the Bible says very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. They forgot. And there were some that were welcoming of this gift. God the Father, as he looked down on the Son, and he was pleased with that sacrifice. Again, I say to you, the world may not have welcomed him at his first coming. And they may not still today, and they may try to cover him up. But can I remind you that one day, all of creation will bow the knee and confess. Romans chapter 14, verse number 11, for it is written, that it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. It was an unwelcome gift. Oh, listen, boy, aren't you thankful that this unspeakable gift that Paul makes mention of, even though it was an unwelcomed gift, as he would be birthed into this world, there would be those that would resist and say, no, man, we don't want any part of it. He came anyway in spite of that. It's an unwelcome gift, so we see this unspeakable gift that Paul makes mention of. First of all, we see that it was a universal gift. And then we see that it was an unwelcome gift. But I want to say, last of all, number three, it was the ultimate gift. It was a universal gift to everybody. Whoever wants, hey, it's for everybody. There's nobody excluded. Everybody's included. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It was an unwelcome gift, and still yet today is an unwelcome gift, but it was the ultimate gift. As we consider this unspeakable gift that Paul would mention, we see that it was a universal gift and an unwelcome gift, but I think that as we consider, or when we consider the gift and the wording that Paul uses, look back there, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I think the wording that Paul uses, we can visualize why would Paul say that it's an unspeakable gift. The fact that it's universal is great. The fact that even though it was unwelcome, he came. But the fact is, the icing on the cake is that the unspeakable gift, think about this. You ever received a gift that you thought, this is a perfect gift? Some of you, maybe that was yesterday. You received that gift. You received this gift and you thought, man, you know what? This is just what I wanted. We had one of our kids that he already knew what the gift was. And opened the gift yesterday. Yeah, it's just what I wanted. You ever felt like that? Man, it's the perfect gift. It's what I have always wanted. It doesn't get any better than this. I would say it's the icing on the cake. It's an ultimate gift. Can I say to you, there's never been another gift like this gift? There'll never be another gift like this gift. It's the ultimate gift. You see, in the grand scheme of things, it is the fact that, hey, I was condemned to everlasting punishment in hell. Listen, I was condemned to everlasting punishment in hell. Hey, friend, listen. You were condemned to everlasting punishment in hell. You say, oh, no, not me. Oh, yeah. All of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all condemned. The whole world is condemned to punishment in hell forever. Because of Adam's sin, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned. There's no getting around it. I had a man ask me the other day at the nursing home. By the way, if you're interested in being a part of the nursing home ministry, see me and we'll plug you up, all right? And I had a man there the other day was carrying on a service, and he raised his hand and he said, Brother Dave, I don't understand. Why do we have to pay for what Adam did? Why do we have to pay for his sin? And my response to him was, I imagine that if we'd have been there, I just got an inkling, that if we'd have been there, we'd have sinned too. We can't hang Adam out there on the branch by himself, but we'd have done the same thing. But I told him, I said, you know, we would have sinned too, I'm sure. But I sure am glad for Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4 through 6. What the scripture says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And he's raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You understand here today? God could have left us in that mess that we were in. Hey, listen. Those that have been saved out of a life of wreck and ruin, and well, any of us were saved out of a life of wreck and ruin. Sin itself is a life of wreck and ruin. But maybe those that were out on Skid Row, you didn't know anything but a life of drinking and alcohol. You didn't know anything but a life of drugs. You didn't know anything but a life of running around, living it up for the devil. Hey, listen to me. You understand, God could have left us out in that. God could have left us. God could have said, hey, you know what? Adam sinned, and you know what? You don't get another chance. I'm done. I created you, and you do me like that? Think about it, friend. That's the way we would have done. That's the way I would have done. You crossed me. You're done, buddy. God could have left us there, but Philippians chapter 2, verse number 7, the Bible says he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Hey, listen, friend, Jesus Christ would come to this sin-cursed, sin-filled earth, and he would be spurned, and he would be slandered, and he would be slaughtered for you and for me, for my sins and your sins. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In spite of our sin, in spite of our wrongdoing, in spite of the fact that, hey, we wouldn't love him like we ought to love him. We wouldn't be faithful to him like we ought to be faithful to him. He came and he died to pay that price. It's the ultimate gift for him. Why did he die? To pay that price so that we could be free from the condemnation of sin. Hey, listen to me. So that one day, as I said earlier, I don't have to go to hell. I don't have to face the flames of hell. I don't have to face the punishment. I don't have to face the separation. Hey, listen to me. He came and he died so that I would be free from the condemnation. And one day, I'll be free from the curse of sin. Hey, if you're saved here today, man, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, hey, listen to me. You're already free from the condemnation. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You're already free from the condemnation. Oh, but one of these days, listen, one of these days when Jesus returns and he calls us to glory, those that have received that gift of salvation, hey, I won't have to fight this flesh anymore. I won't have to fight that temptation anymore. I won't have to fight those things that try to draw me from being what God wants me to be. I'll be free from the curse of sin. The ultimate gift. thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Hey, don't forget about the gift. It's a universal gift. It's an unwelcome gift, but it's the ultimate gift. Friend, can I say to you today? We've already passed Christmas. We're heading into the new year as one last plug. Hey, don't forget about the gift. You leave here today, hey, listen, don't let it slip past your mind. Don't let it be cast aside. The price that Jesus paid, the fact that Jesus came to this sin-filled earth. Hey, listen, boy, when you think about that alone, think about the fact that Jesus left heaven and he left the praises of the angels and he left the Father's side and he left all that he had there in heaven and would come to this earth. Boy, that alone ought to make us shout. But he came here and left all of that. But then it goes on that he would die for us so that you can have heaven. Boy, what a great thing. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this unspeakable gift, Lord, that we can acknowledge this morning. God, as we think about how that Jesus would come to this earth and pay a price that we couldn't pay. Lord, we would, as a world, ridicule him, and God, we would mock at him. Lord, they would buffet him with their fists and spit upon him and place a crown of thorns upon his head, and God, they would take a spear and they would thrust it into his side and they would nail his hands and feet to that cross. And God, as we think about that, God, we can't wrap our minds around